Welcome to Halley Healthcast, the wellness podcast from Halley Health, your partner in helping you live your healthiest life. Every episode on our podcast addresses a new topic important to your health and well-being, bringing in expert doctors, therapists, and specialists who offer advice and answer your most pressing questions. Today's topic is always a timely one, but while it makes some of us squirm, it's rarely of more pressing urgency than right now. We're talking about donating blood. Here with us are two experts. Jeremy Jones is the Director of Consumer Sales and Retention for Health Alliance in Champaign, Illinois, and Elaine Schlorf is the Senior Care Coordinator for Complex and Very High-Risk Teams at Health Alliance. Welcome to you both, and thank you for being with us today. So let's begin by addressing the need for blood donations. The American Red Cross says it's currently experiencing a national blood shortage after fewer donors than needed stepped forward over the summer. So, Mr. Jones, is this a seasonal slump in donations, or is it something much worse? How serious is this shortage of donated blood?
It's quite serious. Diving in, every day patients who need blood are in crisis, and there are many of us who can help by volunteering our time and, more importantly in this case, our blood to help those individuals. In fact, through my journey as a longtime blood donor, I was surprised to find out that less than 10% of the population gives blood, and that's here in the United States. So donors that give on a regular basis are important to meet those needs. And I'm glad to say that we have blood centers all throughout the region here in the Midwest, and there's usually blood centers in many of the other states as well.
Well, thank you, Mr. Jones. That is certainly an eye-opening response. So, Ms. Schlorf, why is this a reoccurring problem? Why are so many people so reluctant to give blood when obviously all of us or those we love are likely to need it at some point?
I believe that some individuals may still have some concerns about contracting COVID when donating blood. I know that there are individuals that come in with masks when I donate blood still, which is perfectly fine. But the staff that do assist are really highly skilled in infection control practices, so there's nothing to worry about. And then during the steps to donating, which will be discussed shortly, the donor is screened to actually make sure they're feeling okay that day, and that's before they even make it back to the donor area. So if someone isn't feeling well, they're asked to leave and come back and donate when they feel better. And I think that spending generally less than an hour of your time during a donation process while providing that much needed blood far, far outweighs a little tiny needle stick.
Some great points. Thank you so much, Ms. Schlorf. Mr. Jones, let's talk about the actual process of donating blood. Walk us through that, if you would. What does a person have to go through to donate blood?
Yes, speaking from my experience, it starts off by getting a good night's rest. So I do recommend getting a good night's sleep and then making sure that I'm eating a dinner that is what they would call hearty: eggs, meat, leafy greens, fruit. And then also making sure that I'm having another hearty meal before providing a blood donation the following day. This is to help stabilize my blood pressure. And it's also important to remain hydrated as well with water. So after I've prepared for those things, I then need to register to donate my blood, and the local blood center here asks that I show a photo ID and provide some basic information regarding how I'm feeling and medical history, so that way they can ensure that they're providing the necessary support. And they do that in the form of a screening. So there's two steps to screening at my local blood center. The first one is a pre-donation screening. It's almost like a mini physical. Whenever I arrive at the location, they'll take my blood pressure, temperature, check my heart rate, all very non-invasive type elements. And then they'll follow that mini physical up with a donor history questionnaire. And that's a yes, no questionnaire asking about if I've traveled anywhere that might put me at risk or put, you know, those who might receive my blood at risk. Again, asking how I'm feeling on that particular day. And they use that information in order to ensure that there's safety for both me and for those that are receiving my blood. Then it goes on to giving blood. For those who just do a whole blood donation, those donations last about 8 to 10 minutes. I myself have donated over 100 donations in my lifetime, and 91 of those donations have actually been through a process known as apheresis. And that's the donation of platelets or plasma. Those entail more steps and more time, but I do encourage those that are listening to reach out to their local blood center to learn more about apheresis, because it's a way that I feel like I can give to my community. And when my time is more limited throughout the rest of the week, that I can block off less than 2 hours to be able to remain positioned to continue to provide donations of platelets and plasma. And then finally, the last step is post-donation fluids and snacks. So it's important to pump those fluids and eat those snacks so you can replace the cells that you've already donated and your body can start regenerating.
Well, thank you for breaking that down for us, Mr. Jones. It doesn't sound as scary as I know in my head I build it up to be. Well, Ms. Schlorf, now that we know what's involved and why it's so important, where do we go to give blood?
There are many, many great places that you can go to give blood. It can start with your local hospital or clinic, contacting them to find out if they're holding a blood drive or if they have a center that you can go to. American Red Cross, the Armed Services Blood Program, and their Blood Centers of America. And then you can even call your primary care physician and talk to your physician or a nurse and see if they have information. You can also look on the internet, because there are many, many places listed on the internet. One of the great ones to start with is the American Red Cross, and they can tell you where there are places to donate in your area.
Well, thank you for that. That is certainly some potentially life-saving information for all of us. Now, Mr. Jones, there are other important blood products in need of donors. You mentioned plasma and platelets earlier. Can you tell us more about those other options and what's involved in donating them?
Certainly. Plasma and platelets, those are fairly common and well-known for those that are providing donations at their local blood centers. There are also a couple of other options that use red blood cells, and those are known as whole blood and double red cell blood donations. Double red blood donations are different than the whole blood donations, where they use that apheresis technology that I mentioned before, which is, it's an automated procedure that enables the donor to give the equivalent of 2 units of red blood cells by having equipment that spins and whirls around the blood and separates the desired red cell components, and then provides more units of the needed blood types back to the patient that they need. So whenever you're donating what actually accumulates to be 2 units, you end up being replenished with the cells that you need back into your body, and not feeling as drained as if you were just to give 2 units of whole blood. Then a whole blood donation gets back to your standard blood donation as we know it for those that are donating without using apheresis technology.
Well, thank you, Mr. Jones. That gives us a lot to think about. Okay, so Ms. Schlorf, let's be, shall we say, painfully honest here. No one except a vampire maybe really enjoys giving blood, right? So how do we maybe sweeten the experience to persuade people to do something they know they should, but otherwise might not?
That's a great question. There are some benefits that may be offered to donors, and some of those are things such as a gift card. Sometimes you get points, donor points, which are used in a donor online store that you can get merchandise there. You can also donate back your points. And there are some employers, such as Carle Health, that do have a policy in place that gives donors time to donate blood so that they don't have to do it at an inconvenient time for them. So I know that Impact Life in the local area where I am, which is where I generally donate, they have gift cards. Sometimes they will have, for new donors, a higher amount gift cards, and they can be to such places as Amazon or local restaurants. It just depends on where you're donating, but it certainly is a little bit of a reason for people to donate if they want that little extra.
Well, those are some great incentives. Thank you for sharing with us. And Mr. Jones, given all that we've discussed here today, and in the light of this national blood shortage, what main message would you want everyone everywhere to know about giving blood?
Many variables can impact our blood inventories in our communities, whether it is weather-related or tragic events or even the holidays. And at least one blood center in our area is in dire need of O negative and O positive blood types because they're now down to less than a one-day supply of both of those universal blood types. These blood types are frequently used in emergencies because they can be transfused into patients before lab testing, and they can be used in emergencies whenever lab testing is not available or decisions need to be made. And typically a blood center strives to have, I believe, a 5 to 7 day supply of all blood types, but the recent blood donation and usage trends, they've led to critically low inventory levels for the O negative and O positive in our area, and then nationally, in other cases, other blood types as well. So please consider donation.
Absolutely. Thank you for that, Mr. Jones. That just about says it all, but not quite yet. The same question for you, Ms. Schlorf, or very similar anyway, and it's our last one. What do you have to say to that potential blood donor out there who still isn't quite convinced donating blood is worth the trouble?
Thank you for asking that. I would just say that donating blood is about helping others with minimal time from the donor. And you never really know when someone you love might need a blood transfusion or platelets or plasma. And I have a very close relative that needed quite a few transfusions in the past. And those transfusions helped him immensely when he needed it most. And if not for the donors, the outcome for him might have been much, much different. So as Mr. Jones said, please, please consider donating.
Wow. Well, incredible answers, both of you. You have been truly such amazing guests. Thanks so much, Jeremy Jones and Elaine Schlorf, for joining us today and for all you do every day at Health Alliance to help so many individuals and families throughout our communities. That concludes today's Halley HealthCast. Tune in next time as we tackle yet another topic important for your health and well-being. And remember, Halley Health is your partner in helping you live your healthiest life. Visit Halley.com. That's Halley.com for resources, information, tips, and much more. Help us keep you and your family healthy and well. Thanks for listening. We hope you tune in again.